For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Slippery slope or natural progression, since our country has decided that marriage is between two men and two women, just like between a man and a woman. Well, that's what the law says, at least. I'm just saying. So should that be expanded to include three or more people? A little bit later on this morning, I'll tell you why I'm bringing that up, because you know what? That question is before some courts. I'm Mike Ferguson. Thank you for making News Talk SDL part of your morning. We had a chance to talk to Mark Montavani on Tuesday's program and got an update on his campaign for St. Louis County Executive. Here's what he had to say. You're a businessman, and we know how bad businesses have been hurting over the last year and a half, 2 years. If you're elected, what changes when it comes to economic development, attracting businesses, making the environment as friendly to businesses as possible, which obviously another word for businesses is jobs. What changes under a Montavani administration?
Well, thanks for having me on. Big topic, because many things that the county executive and the county government touch affect perspectives, perceptions, and the substance of doing business in St. Louis County. St. Louis County, over the last couple of decades, has developed a reputation that it is not friendly to businesses, and there are a number of reasons why that is so. It is perceived as a place where there is a lot of red tape to do business. There are situations where there's doubling up of licensing requirements. There's a lack of coordination with municipalities on zoning issues. The county government itself has not always remembered, I think, that it is in the service business. Some of the offices that engage, connect, touch businesses have developed a reputation for being less than cooperative with businesses in terms of things like the hours that they're open, the procedures for doing business with them, the like. And so the first thing we have to do is remember we're in the service business and we're trying to serve the residents and the businesses of St. Louis County, like any other business would, I think. Secondly, we, of course, have to make certain that our tax base is fair and perceived as such, and that it's fairly administered. I regularly hear criticisms of the real estate tax situation with respect to assessments, particularly of commercial properties that are perceived as being aggressive, unfair, and the like. Thirdly, we have got to recognize that staffing, as you suggested, Mike, is an important consideration for businesses. When I was running my business, we had a real challenge always of identifying, hiring technologists and the like. As a region, this transcends just St. Louis County. As a region, we've got to make it clear that developing technologists and young professionals to service our growing business organizations is more of a priority. These things are doable. Many communities across the country have done these kinds of things. We have to get more effective at retaining our young people in town so our labor pool is perceived as appropriate. So I think that the question is a good one, and it requires a change in mindset across the board. You know, businesses drive the economic standing of a lot of lives, and there is no there is no reason why government can't collaborate and support business organizations in their attempts to grow. That's really what creates a dynamic region.
Good morning, Mark. Abe Pfeiffer here. In addition to the importance of setting that environment, that business environment, I think crime is one of those contributors to that. And St. Louis County's increasing crime is a problem. And it's gone so far as to have the St. Charles County executive call for major changes to alleviate the crime that seems to be encroaching from the city. What's your plan for the county to reduce our crime problem?
Well, first of all, you're exactly right. With respect to economic opportunity in the region, growth, crime has to be dealt with. One of my frustrations, guys, is that the current county executive has not even addressed the reality of a growing crime rate in the community and the perception that people have here. I mean, my friends and neighbors feel unsafe, and so consequently, that causes us to lose population, and businesses either leave or they don't want to invest here, they don't want to move here. So we've got to have an aggressive crime plan. I find it's if it wasn't so serious, it would almost be laughable. People in the St. Louis area somehow or other think that crime is almost an unmanageable challenge. And, you know, if you look around the country, almost every major metropolitan area in America has a crime plan that they have developed locally and that they're trying to execute. We seem to be sitting on our hands in this area, which makes me crazy. All right, so look, the very first thing that I would focus on as county executive is the development of a crime plan. Now, I have some ideas about this, but this has got to be a community-wide kind of a plan. I can propose a plan that involves short-term intermediation of trying to get bad actors off the street, but I've got to engage with the police on that. You have to engage with the community. The clergy can be a big help, as they have been in other communities around the country. You've got to engage with businesses because you've got to get you've got to get economic opportunity in order to give people an option relative to moving their life in a different direction. The best programs, the ones that I like the best, are built sort of along the model of what was called Operation Ceasefire, which was a Boston initiative in the early part of the 2000s. Oakland's done a similar program. And basically, what these programs involve is getting into the neighborhoods and working with community leaders to identify who the likely bad actors are. And then intermediation between the police and the community with respect to those people, and say, basically, look, your days of engaging in violent activity are over. Now you've got two choices. You can either deal with the prospects of incarceration. We'll get you off the streets if we have to. Or we're going to give you an option to turn your life around. That's why businesses are important, because you offer people the opportunity to straighten their lives out, to get some training, to maybe get a job after their training and the like. And they get to make a choice, right, as to whether or not how their life is going to go. You engage with the feds on some of the enforcement, on some of this kind of stuff. So there's a lot of programs built along a similar model to that have been reasonably successful in other communities. What we've got to do is we've got to have a plan, darn it, and work the thing in order to demonstrate to the community that we're serious about this and to get these bad actors off the street. Then, you know, the whole thing around longer-term initiatives is also right. There is truth to the statement that people turn to crime because they're desperate, because they don't see economic opportunity. And so you have to deal with the long-term initiative as well as creating a growing economy and growing opportunities. But the very first thing you got to do is you got to get the bad actors off the street.
Good morning, Mark. We're talking to Mark Montavani, candidate for St. Louis County Executive. Mark, there are a fair amount of people listening right now and who are in St. Louis who are independent. Are there, Democrats wanting to lean away from Sam Page? If there's one message you want to deliver to them right now, what would that be?
Well, look, I think that if you're an honest broker and you look at the last 4 years of St. Louis County government, you have to agree that it is characterized by chaos within the county government. I mean, the county executive's interactions with the council have been wholly ineffective. He has had to be forced to do the right thing over and over, forced by the courts, you know, with respect to seating of the chair, with respect to his second job. The voters had to engage. with respect to paying Tim Fitch's pension. So there's just been chaos. The relationship between the executive and legislative branches has been wholly dysfunctional. So I think that that is an example of failed leadership of a person who doesn't understand how to work with others and for the common good. There have also been examples of corruption and the like, but all of these things are important to me because they are preventing us from dealing with the fundamental challenges of our community, which are crime, as we talked about, and the lack of economic development and the like. And so I recognize that there is some confusion about the fact that I ran as a Democrat and I'm running as a Republican. The fact is that all I care about is St. Louis. This should not be a question about parties. These should be nonpartisan offices, as they are in most communities around America. But if we don't take this opportunity to get our community on the right track, we're going to continue to be passed up by all of those other places, Midwestern communities around us, Kansas City and Indianapolis and Nashville. And I'm just tired of it. There is no reason why St. Louis can't be in the vanguard of Midwestern communities that are growing and succeeding. The reason we're not doing this is because our leadership has been substandard, and I think I've got a different approach, and I think we can do some good if the community will think broader and allow a different kind of leadership.
Your morning news roundup starts in about 4 minutes right here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Oh, man. Lots to talk about today, as always. Good thing there's lots to talk about because this is a talk show.
So, that's really good.
It's very convenient.
Beneficial to us.
Unfortunately, there are things that could really get your blood pressure up just a little bit. So take your meds in the morning like I just did. Here's a few of them. Readjust your budget. Gas prices are creeping up and likely to continue to go up in the coming weeks. We're going to get to that in just a moment on it because I got the numbers on that. Also, we're going to bring you a firsthand account of what's happening at the southern border. We're going to do that around 7:35 with our friends from the Daily Signal. And Cori Bush. Did you hear this? Cori Bush triples down on her hatred of police on national television. Apparently, that's how she thinks she's going to sell books.
Yeah, they're ready to change words again.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah. 6:35 is when we're going to have that conversation. Somebody actually tweeted at me last night and said, oh, my goodness, did you see this? And it was the clip of audio I'm about to play. And I went, yep, there it is. There it is. In a very bizarre way, she is so fringe and so out of touch that she actually says what the rest of them are thinking.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely gross. So we'll prove it to you. 6:35. All right. I'm Mike Ferguson. It is 5:50. That's Ken Williams over there. Let's see here. Let's start with Florida. Florida is struggling to get out from under the debris and the damage done by Hurricane Ian. Here's the thing is in addition to the initial flooding that was brought on directly by the hurricane, now what's happening is there is a second round of flooding because all that water's going into rivers and creeks and other things, and it's got to come out somewhere before it makes its way back to the ocean. So now like north of Orlando and other places are experiencing delayed onset flooding, if you will. So it's continuing to affect more people.
Yeah.
At this point, 300,000 customers as of early this morning, as of about 2 hours ago, still have no power throughout the state of Florida. Several what they call barrier islands cut off from the mainland because the bridges were damaged or destroyed. The state's director of emergency management, his name is Kevin Guthrie. He says one of the things that's really helping is people from around the entire country have made it to Florida to help out.
We have people from all over the country here helping us today and through as long as we need it.
And President Biden's going to be there today. I don't know how much help that's going to be. But one of the things that this does affect us, and so we need to be more patient, is, for instance, my wife and I need something done with an electric wire at our house.
and Ameren, who's never easy to deal with. Let's be really honest. If you've worked with, dealt with Ameren, they're not easy to deal with on the best of circumstances. They're finding any reason to kick this down the road. And we're like, but we really need this. We have a wire that's very low, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, they've got crews down in Florida. Almost every electric company, this is what happens on these massive national disasters, is that they send crews, co-ops send crews, and so you may not get your stuff done as fast from companies like Ameren right now. Deal with it. That's just the way it is right now because they're doing something more important. And when the contractor we were talking to reminded us of that, I remember my wife and I were like, oh, yeah, those people need it a whole lot more than us. We'll deal with our wire that's low hanging in the backyard.
Yeah.
That's one of the ways it just affects us right now. We tend to forget that sometimes. Let's see here. A lot of people aren't remembering that the special session continues in Jefferson City after they had a big two-week hullabaloo that delivered basically nothing for taxpayers. They did pass some tax credits and tax incentives for the agriculture industry. That is going to have incentives, financial incentives for meat processing, urban farming, and also going to have tax breaks for buying farm equipment. The Senate passed that bill 26-3 during the special session. He is going to sign it. They're going to have a press conference for it at 10:15 and probably try to brag about what a great job they've done for all of us taxpayers on here. So remember that those of us who just regular taxpayers, we were told we were getting a tax cut. We got less than 1% reduction that's going to be phased in and no increase to the standard deduction. So big deal. Congratulations. You got your corporate welfare for the ag industry.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened. And I know I'm a conservative talk show host and I'm supposed to be like, oh yeah, go Republicans. Everything they do is great. Let's not call balls and strikes. Call them balls and strikes. We would have been better off without this special session.
The Republicans as a group need to get their stuff together.
Stuff together. Precisely. Yeah. You know, and I know, and I got some friends here angry, you know, that I say stuff like this. It's election year, man. Take it easy on us. We can do it after. No. You know, this was
precisely the time to do it.
Yeah, this was a waste of time. This entire special session was a waste of time.
Yeah, and the people need to elect conservatives if they want to get this agenda passed through.
Yeah.
So this is the time, the election season is the time to remind people.
Yeah, frustrating. Frustrating.
Yeah, it is. Aggravates me. It has to aggravate everybody else.
If the Missouri Republican Party were serious about delivering us noticeable, tangible tax cuts that we would feel, they could have done it.
They could have.
They just chose not to.
Right.
Yeah, there were plenty of people fighting for it. Yeah, Schroer and
You
know, Tony Lovasco and Andrew Koenig and Bob Onder and Bill Eigel and Sarah Walsh and Rick Bratton. And there's a lot of people who were fighting really hard. But the majority of the Republicans in the state Senate in particular just simply weren't interested in delivering a tax cut. They're very interested in taking credit for a tax cut on the election campaign trail.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't actually want to deliver a real one to us. So they say
when it's a cut.
Right. Yeah. Here's a few crumbs. Here's a few morsels. But boy, aren't you excited about that steak dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. All right. White House continuing to come under scrutiny for gas prices that are creeping up right now. Fox News' Kevin Cork reports.
What a difference a few months really make. President Biden was quick to claim responsibility for falling gas prices after a summer of pain at the pump. But as many states are once again seeing soaring prices, the White House is saying we're not to blame. AAA's national average sits just north of $3.80 a gallon. Californians are getting pummeled, averaging over $6.40 a gallon, rising more than a dollar just last month. Louisiana's John Kennedy adding this on Twitter. Gas prices are on the rise again, as America's oil reserve is at a low.
Just in case you were wondering, the average gas price in Missouri is $3.40 right now. In Illinois, it is $4.33. National average, $3.83 compared to January of 2021, where it was $2.39, so about $1.50 higher than it was in January of 2021.
The moment it came down and we found out the reason why was because he was using strategic oil reserves, we said it's going to go back up.
Everybody saw
that. I mean, this is a long time ago.
Absolutely. We all saw this coming. Update to a story we talked about yesterday. Historic Scott Joplin house was broken into, which really is disgusting. The arrest was made. We now know who's charged. His name is Kevin Lee Daly Bay. and he's now charged with burglary and property damage. Brian Stith from Missouri State Parks Department, he's the deputy director, gave this kind of description of what the damage was to KMOV.
We found a lot of broken furniture, just things thrown about the historic apartment, the offices. There were items thrown out the window.
So frustrating.
Just
so
why?
Frustrating.
I mean, it's,
I don't know. There's no explanation.
Not making
for that.
Any money on it.
And you can't replace the stuff. That's the thing, is you just can't replace the stuff. All right. Cardinals beat the Pirates in 10 innings yesterday. Final score was 8-7. The last game of the regular season starts this afternoon at 3:05. This is actually a makeup rainout game from before.
And the win that they had last night,
yeah,
they fought for it hard.
Right.
And that's what I want to see, because this game meant nothing.
Nothing. And today's game means even less than nothing.
Right. Yeah. But they fought for it, and that's what I want to see, because we're coming into a big playoff right away.
That's right. Starting on Friday. So today's game, it starts at like 3:05. So the game means nothing. Sorry, Ken. You're probably going to see the Bat Boy batting sixth.
Okay.
Equipment manager probably batting eighth or ninth.
They need a break to get ready.
They do.
Get fired up.
Yeah, Philadelphia Phillies in town on Friday to start the playoffs. Okay, a lot going on here. A local city hall decides to spend a lot of money honoring itself. Yeah, you're going to love this one. 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.